KNOM Update News. I'm Lorelei Kinnean, and it's 9:02. In Washington, D.C., the Senate Indian Affairs Committee yesterday reviewed a controversial report on Native American law and order that portrays the high rates of violence in rural Alaska, particularly against Native women and children, as a national disgrace. While Alaska's senators agreed the gaps in law enforcement are deplorable, the long-standing dispute over tribal jurisdiction in the state hangs over the search for solutions. One of the witnesses, ANVIC resident Tammy Truitt-Giroux, told the Senate panel she has the routine concerns every working parent has. Though as a resident of a Native community off the road system, she has more to contend with.
But I also worry about whether my children, my nieces, nephews, or relatives are going to be hurt today. And in ANVIC, I consider us a fairly safe community. But I would like to, you know, when I have to have a conversation with my 14-year-old son when he goes to the, he gets on his snow machine and goes to school in the morning, hey, I want you to be come home early today. The booze came in on the plane.
Giroux works for the ANVIC Tribal Council and went to Washington representing the Tanana Chiefs Conference, an association of interior tribes. She endorsed the findings in the report of the Indian Law and Order Commission, including the controversial conclusion that Congress should amend federal law to clearly recognize Indian country throughout Alaska. Without full self-government, she says communities like hers will continue to suffer, even though tribal courts are doing the best they can.
They've come up with some excellent ideas, but we were then hindered by state intervention and or lack of.
The Congressionally Chartered Indian Law and Order Commission produced its report in November. It catalogs the high crime rate Indian communities in the lower 48 endure, but says the dangers are more severe in Alaska. Commission Chairman Troy Ide told the Senate committee the state's clinging to a colonial model that should give way to greater tribal self-governance and the kind of Indian country powers that tribes have on reservations in the lower 48. The Parnell administration raised objections to the commission last year, saying the state and Alaska Natives themselves rejected the reservation concept with the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act in 1971. State Attorney General Michael Garrity wrote that Alaska recognizes tribal authority over certain civil matters, but maintains that absent reservations, tribes do not have criminal jurisdiction, even over their own members. Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski asked Ide why the report recommends that Alaska essentially recreate the reservation model when there's a constant stream of news stories suggesting law enforcement is not working well on reservations either.
I'm not suggesting that the Alaska situation is acceptable. It is absolutely not. But do we want to take what many would acknowledge is a failed or a failing system and then just say that's the Alaska answer?
Ide says Alaska does not need reservations for tribes to govern themselves in their own territories, and the report argues tribal law enforcement would be more effective and less costly than what the state is doing now. Murkowski says the report's chapter on Alaska focuses too much on the Indian country question. While that remains a hot-button issue, Murkowski says tribes are working with the state to construct public safety buildings in communities, and tribal courts are issuing domestic violence protective orders that the state is enforcing. She says all sides should work harder for that kind of cooperation. On Monday evening, the Nome Common Council approved a new ordinance that attaches a $500 fine to possession and distribution of a new class of synthetic drugs. Spice, bath salts, synthetic marijuana, K2, synthetic cannabinoids. There are a lot of names attached, and that's part of what the new ordinance tries to combat. The Nome Police Department brought an early draft of the measure before the Common Council. It's modeled on a recently passed Anchorage ordinance that targets packaging rather than the chemical composition of the substances in question. By tweaking the chemistry, product names, and packaging, manufacturers and distributors have skirted law enforcement efforts. And because the chemistry is constantly changing, so are the effects, dosage, and risks. Even finding the right words to describe them can be tricky. Megan Peters, spokesperson for the Department of Public Safety, says the term psychoactive designer drugs is the most accurate. That's partly because they were originally advertised as safe legal alternatives to drugs like marijuana, methamphetamines, and hallucinogens, a claim that is not true. The rapid adjustments have made tracking the effects of psychoactive synthetics difficult, and there don't appear to be many officials with a comprehensive grasp of how these drugs are affecting Western Alaska. Few feel qualified to speak as experts on the topic. People working in healthcare say that in the absence of comprehensive studies, which are just beginning, they could only offer anecdotal evidence of the damages to health they're already seeing. Right now, long-term brain damage is a serious concern for many dealing with the subject. A law enforcement official in Nome said his organization began looking into SPICE after noticing acute behavioral changes in chronic drug users. But at the time, there was no legal intervention strategy they could pursue. And more than one organization declined to speak publicly in order to avoid singling out communities that are currently experiencing widespread issues with the drugs. In one instance, a city government contacted a regional air carrier and asked them to inspect incoming hand carries as a way of keeping spice from getting in. But with mail freight being the primary point of entry for drugs coming into the community, the measure has had limited success. And though it is apparent some communities are suffering acutely, what's unclear is the scale of the issue region-wide. Healthcare providers are candid that what they see is the tip of the iceberg. While spice, bath salts, synthetic marijuana, whichever name is used, are present in Western Alaska, their shifting status has so far stymied a coordinated response or comprehensive grasp of the problems at hand. And the House Education Committee begins taking testimony on Governor Sean Parnell's massive omnibus education bill. Among the items in the bill is a proposal for gradually increasing the base student allocation. House Bill 278 also covers terminating the exit examination for students earning credit for proven mastery of a course and changing the charter school application process. And the Nome Port Commission met last night in a brief meeting. The group discussed revisions to Nome's port tariff rules and regulations, and port users should expect to see a number of changes this year. Among them, open storage rates should increase. No refunds will be issued for prepaid storage or docking. Vessels will not be allowed to dock on the causeway. Larger ships will be required to haul out on commercial-grade stands. And the port director will have to offer advanced approval for any welding, cutting, or sandblasting occurring on a vessel or dockside. All changes are tentative until reviewed by the port attorney and given final approval by the port commission. The price of gold in New York is up $16.30 an ounce to $1,320.10. An ounce of silver at $21.47, up 88 cents. It's unofficially 12 below zero at the KNOM studios, 10 minutes after 9 o'clock.